You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Don't call it a comeback, but it was a comeback. I'm watching the end of the Buffalo game again. I'm watching NFL Live on ESPN. The end of the Buffalo game, Sean McDermott's calling these pass plays. I mean, they had three timeouts left, so I guess it wouldn't have mattered in the long run, but you're certainly eating more clock, but I don't know. Funny anyway. 3 o'clock hour. We have a lot of stuff to get to today. We'll do the studs and duds from yesterday's Dolphins game. It was a win. Win's a win. And a reminder, once again, Whiskey Stars and Cigars, which was Wednesday night. It was postponed from, what was it, September, I think, right? It was supposed to be in September. We had 25th. To postpone it doing the during the previous hurricane. It was Helene. And then Milton rears its ugly head. And now we've got to postpone Whiskey Stars and Cigars again. So just kind of keep listening. We'll get a makeup date scheduled at some point. I don't imagine Duncan Robinson's going to be available for a makeup date because now the heat season is starting. It was one of the, so we're going to have to bring somebody new in, but we'll get Whiskey Stars and Cigars rescheduled at some point, and we'll let you know when we do.
Dale.
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 Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome. And double victory Monday, that sounds similar to my favorite category on OnlyFans.
Double something. I don't know if it's double victory. Nice to see you in that victory Monday t-shirt, Jimmy. It's been too long. He only breaks it out for the Dolphins, not the Hurricanes. How'd your St. Thomas team do this weekend?
They got screwed. They lost.
What did they lose or get screwed? What was the score?
31-27.
But they lost. It was a bad call at the end or something, didn't you text me?
Yeah, they measured it, and they called it short at first, and then the referee goes, no. They got the first down. And
then that was it?
That was it.
Who you were playing? Kaiser University?
Yeah, top-ranked Kaiser University.
Top-ranked, Hawk. Don't forget
top-ranked. Tough way to lose to Kaiser. That's a tough way to lose to Kaiser.
They're on an internet. They have an internet school.
Do you think Mike McDaniel gave game balls to everyone on the Dolphins after yesterday's win?
On defense, 15 points? You can't get a game ball with 15 points.
Because I don't know. Do we have any confirmation of it, Solana? Like, I watch... The Dolphins posted some video of his post-game speech. Normally, the video will include the team gets game balls as well, but they didn't include that portion. But the part of the video, you know, that they posted, it certainly seemed like it was headed in that direction because he was like, it takes a team, it's everyone doing their part and whatever. And I'm like, this guy gave everyone a game ball, didn't he? Can you imagine, I don't know, the punter, the holder, the long snapper, all these special teams mistakes. Can you imagine this dude putting a game ball from yesterday in their trophy case?
I sure would.
Yeah, I would too, but it'd be ridiculous.
Y'all made me feel bad about my balls I got behind me.
I mean, you did something, though.
9 tackles, 2 quarterback pressures, a sack.
Who did deserve the game ball yesterday? If you were giving a game ball for the Dolphins' win yesterday, who do you give it to?
That's a hell of a question. Raheem had, what, 80? Tough one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raheem had 80 coming off an injury. Like, he changed. Raheem changed the first one part of my mind.
Alec Ingold, they were focusing on him on the television, and he scored the tutty. Like, who was it? I think it was Mark Sanchez, right? That was the analyst.
Yeah.
He was like, well, just watch Alec Ingold. Wherever he goes is where it's going.
Ingold, too. Ingo was a big part of it. And them running straight downhill, what we've been begging them to do, just try to play bully ball. They tried to play bully ball, and Ingo was a big part of that. I feel very funny about giving a game ball to a fullback, but he did score a touchdown.
They rewarded him. The Dolphins have had one complete offensive drive in the past 3 weeks, and nobody was more important on that drive than Alec Ingold. They gave him the touchdown, literally told him, go get us those 6 points because of how instrumental he was in getting them there. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's Alec Ingold who deserves that.
They put him on the elevator. They put him on the elevator.
Yeah. I can ride with that.
Real highlight, yeah.
I could ride.
Of course, they hand-fed him the touchdown the week after I bet Alec Ingold anytime TD. I had him the week before, plus 1,100. This time, I have Raheem Mostert, plus 400 anytime TD. I don't know. Maybe give it to him down there. I don't know. Guy had a pretty good game. I mean, maybe reward him with a touchdown.
I don't know, Hawk. Do you want to text McDaniel your betting odds? Because I don't think he knows them.
There's a lot of things I want to text him. I had Odell Beckham over 8.5 yards receiving. He had 2 targets, 0 receptions, 0 yards.
Hawk, this Odell mountain you've built for yourself, I won't just snatch it from under you, but I think you're barking up the wrong tree.
But that's Tyler Huntley's fault, not Odell's fault. He was open.
If two was playing, Odell probably would have more yards. But for you to think the third receiver is about to get these targets, Hawk, is crazy.
Targets 8.5 yards. I didn't bet over 80.
Okay, it's called progression.
One catch for 9 yards.
It's called a progression. Okay, so first number one is number one's Reek. What Reek have, 6 or 7 for 70 yards or something? Waddle's 2. Achan or Mostert, like one of these running backs, are going to be 3. Get their ball out the hand fast. So Odell, at the best of his time, is going to be the 4th progression. And our offensive line, you can't get to 4 progressions with our offensive line, Hawk.
Ron Armstead was out there. You could have gotten to a 5th or 6th progression.
There's no 6. There's not a 6th person that can catch a ball, Hawk.
They got to get Odell a catch. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm betting his overs again.
I will bet his overs when Tua comes back. I will. Not now.
Fair enough. All right, you want to do headlines here for the 3 o'clock hour? We'll do headlines with Alejandro Solana. Brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
All right, guys, so the Dolphins do get the victory yesterday. There was some controversy at the end. New England Patriots driving, final drive. They get a ball into the back of the end zone from Jacoby Brissett. I forget what receiver it was for New England. He gets 1 foot down. He gets the 2nd foot down, but because his back is towards the sideline and his toes come down, but then his heel comes down, the officials, according to the rule, call it incomplete. And there were a lot of people who were upset about the call, but those are the rules.
Apparently. So I wasn't too aware of it till they explained it. So his foot comes down. The 2nd foot comes down. Like you said, the front of the foot is in bounds. So to me, the play's then over. That's what I was thinking in my head. Oh, he had the left foot in bounds. Now the right one, or right left, comes down. And the moment the toe touches before anything else does, 2 feet are in bounds. But apparently, because he was landing, so the toe and the heel come down, even if they don't come down together, because he's landing. If he was dragging, a toe drag swag, yep. If he was dragging, you just need the toes down. But because he was landing, the toe and the heel have to come down in bounds.
I'm not going to act like I'm Gene Stachetor, and I knew that rule. What's his name?
Gene Stachetor.
But we're always used to people do the toe drag because you're running right out of bounds. You do the toe drag. I've never seen it backwards. So I learned that rule watching the game is where, yeah. But it makes sense. It's a complete yep. motion of your foot. So if your foot in, even if you saw, it was one game where the guy was running down the sideline. And when you're tiptoeing, your whole foot has to stay in bounds. So if your toe hits in bounds, but your heel goes out of bounds, you're out of bounds because yep. you've touched out of bounds. So the same thing with this. If you're catching a ball, the completion of that movement is out of bounds, you're out of bounds. I'm glad it worked in the benefit
we'll
of the Dolphins.
Take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. But if it was on the other side, honestly, I would say it was dumb because he had both feet in bounds at one point. Plays over. I'm with you, Hawk. Plays over. Both
I'd
feet
have been
in bounds.
Pissed.
Plays over.
Oh my God, would yeah. I have been pissed?
Well, dub's a dub, brother. I don't know what to tell you.
I think a dub's a dub is going to be our phrase for the remainder of the season. So just get ready for it.
I'll just stack them up. I don't care how you get them. Stack them up.
Yeah, so Odell Beckham, as Hawk mentioned, two targets, zero receptions in the game. What's funny is Odell told us earlier in the week, speaking to the media, of course, that his first touchdown pass came from Snoop Huntley in Baltimore. So he had some chemistry with him and weren't exactly clicking. But I would say the offense looked better than it did on Monday Night Football. Not yes. that it looked good, but it looked better than it did on Monday Night Football.
Yes. I'll yes. give you that.
Yep.
Jalen Wright and Raheem Mostert.
And I do think Teron Armstead and Raheem Mostert have such a ton to do with that.
Yeah.
Raheem Mostert makes a big difference. He really does. Because he can catch the ball. He can run outside, inside. Like, his body type, his running style is exactly what this offense needs. Achan is a glorified slot receiver, and we know it. That's why they play him the way they play him. But Raheem Mostert makes a big difference in this. And y'all brought it up, Alan Ingold.
Alan Ingold.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Alec Ingold.
Ingold. For them to leave him the game as long as they did with the fullback was surprising to me.
Jalen Wright and Raheem Mostert carried the load offensively. Jalen, 86 yards, 13 carries for the rookie. Mostert, as you're mentioning, Crowder, 19 carries for 80 yards. Achane just 18 yards on three carries. He had one reception that went for negative yardage as well. So two kind of duds for him. I will say best production we've seen through five games from Jonnu Smith. I'm still not ready to call it a Jonnu Smith package, but he did have five receptions for 62 yards on eight targets.
He gonna crank up. Y'all don't worry.
How about your guy Julian Hill, man?
Listen.
What is that guy doing on a football field?
I'm asking Solana.
That's the guy he said he before him. The season. Solana me. Said before the season, oh, Julian Hill is
Solana.
The guy to watch.
Me?
Watch you. Julian Hill. He's a monster, you. A physical beast. Watch what he's gonna do. If he walked in the steam room and I'm in the steam room, we have to grab each other. I have to see him right now.
I don't know if that's Julian Hill. I think that's actually Joel Anthony just wearing a jersey with a helmet on. That guy has no hands. He's incapable of going a full game without a penalty.
Penalty. It's crazy. Kills them.
He's a double agent. Somebody sent him here to not let us have first and 10.
The big bummer was that Javon Holland did leave the game in the fourth quarter, and he has a broken bone in his hand. So he was replaced by Elijah Campbell yesterday. Another sleeper cell is Jordan Poyer, who knocked out Jalen Phillips, and he's been tough. He didn't play yesterday. He was replaced by Marcus May. So the Dolphins now, without Javon, I imagine Jordan Poyer won't miss extended time, but obviously something to keep an eye on. Your options are Nick Needham, who was activated yesterday, rookie Jordan Colbert, Elijah Campbell. Secondary was already kind of slim. Gets a little slimmer.
Somebody texts in, Hawk, so what we're saying is we're a Javon Holland punch out and a bad toe drag away from being 0-5. We are, but that's how seasons go.
If you look into a bunch of 500 teams, you can do that.
Yeah.
It's the NFL. That's why all the spreads are single digits.
Like, you can pick apart any win, any loss, say, well, if that went that way, it's a completely different game. It's just, at the end of the day, you're, what are they, 2-3? 2-3, and you're a game out of the lead in the AFC East. Listen, you can only play who's on your schedule, and you can only get a W or an L for each game. I guess you can get a tie. You still tie in the NFL?
You can.
If you go through overtime with no 10-minute
overtime?
10-minute overtime.
Even last night, the Steelers and the Cowboys, 4th and 6 from the 6, whatever it was, and somebody scores, somebody doesn't.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I will say, as dreadful as this season has been, because I yesterday didn't change my mind, this team's not good. Like, even when Tua comes back, I don't think this team's winning a Super Bowl. I will say, had you told me at the start of the season, Tua's going to get hurt in the third quarter versus Buffalo, and he'll miss 4 games. Going into the bye week, you told me the Dolphins are 2-3. I'd say, okay, like, that makes sense. I guess I would take it. Obviously, you want them to be 4-1.
I don't think I would. Not with the talent that's on this team, not with the contracts that they put out there. And you know, I'll bring up the same thing, which is, teams lose their starting quarterbacks, they get worse, but they don't fall off a cliff. And that's what happened to this team. I thought this was an AFC conference championship roster. I can't go from that, you lose your quarterback, and now they're one of the 5 worst teams in the NFL. That doesn't add up to me. Now, I was higher on the team than you were, so I'm coming from a different place. But I think this roster, man, go down this roster. But again, everything has to be perfect, especially Tua.
Yeah.
Don't go down the roster, though. I think that's the problem. Just stay at the top of the roster. Don't go down the roster. And these 5 games have proved that, man. Like,
No doubt.
Perhaps you may have overestimated how deep this roster was, because there's clearly a bereft of talent get past the top 8 players.
But the problem with that is, if Tua's out there, they beat that New England team by 28 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good I think this Dolphins team is with Tua. I just do. You can't tell me that game's a slog if Tua's out there.
I would give you the same thing
against Tennessee, and I would give you, you know, the Buffalo game. I don't see it that way. Like, for me, Seattle, you saw Seattle yesterday. Seattle got beaten by the Giants yesterday without your guy, Malik Nabers.
To Solana's point, it's the drop-off. And I'm with you. With the importance of Tua, I swear I'm with you. When you see it, we see the offense, 70 points last year, Denver game, number one, all the stats they did last year. But Solana saying that is where we have one of the best receivers in the league. We have one of the top quarterbacks in the league. We have an amazing pass rusher. We have Teron Armstead, who is a multi-time Pro Bowl. The guys underneath them might not be able to play at this level.
I get it. I'm with
you. That's the thing, the top-heavy thing. I've been convinced about that.
I'm not arguing that. What I am arguing, though, is Solana saying, even when Tua comes back, I think this is a bad football team, and I don't.
But that's predicated on
Teron Armstead being out there.
Yeah.
And Raheem Mostert being out there. And Tyreek and Jalen being healthy. Like, it's predicated on everyone being out there, the top-heavy guys. Because when you get past those guys, you're right. They're devoid of a lot of talent.
The DB, Jalen Ramsey made a big play late in the game. If Jalen Ramsey's hurt, our starting corners are Kader Kohu and what, Nick Needham?
I got you.
Kendall Fuller.
That's the drop-off that we're seeing now.
I got you. I'm not arguing it. I'm just saying that to say this team is bad with or without Tua, I don't think is true. I think the team is bad if you lose a bunch of your starters, but that's probably the case for a lot of NFL teams. I think this team is still really good once Tua gets back.
I think the team is good, Hawk, if they can score 30-plus points.
And they can when Tua's there.
But is that a flaw? If you have to supersede on offense for the team to be good.
I mean, if you're built for offense, though, if all your money is on your quarterback and 2 wide receivers, then, yeah, maybe that's okay. Like, that's – like, this is – you know, it's like, well, what if you have to rely on the 3 to win an NBA game? Well, if that's what you're built for – then, yeah, you rely on the 3. Sometimes you'll die with the 3, but if you rely on it, if that's what you're built for, it's what you're built for.
Golden State did it. Everybody could do it. Steph could do it. Clay could do it. Draymond could do it. They won a championship doing that, but they all had to be there to be able to shoot those 3s.
But here's the problem. You were that team last year, and it wasn't good enough. You had to change your identity to go up against the team standing in your way, the more physical teams. And they told us this year that that's what they were doing, that they were a finesse team. Everybody knew it around the league. Jordan Poyer told you that that's what everybody thought of the Dolphins, and they were going to change that narrative about them, and they just clearly didn't. And I can only go off of what I've seen when this team's been healthy. That's four full quarters against Tennessee, or excuse me, against Jacksonville, who's really bad, finally got their first win yesterday, and two quarters and 5 minutes against Buffalo. And when this team has been healthy, they haven't looked good yet, Hawk. So I hope you're right.
I just don't think I don't think they're drastic. I mean, they're not drastically different than last season, and they were very good last season. And, you know, if you want to do the thing that the texture was doing with, well, if this happens, if they don't blow that Tennessee lead, they're not in Kansas City at minus 80 degrees and unable to move the ball, which is understandable. So, I think it's a good team.
But, Hawk, they're drastically different than last year.
Well, they could certainly use Andrew Van Ginkel. And they could certainly use him.
We just gave a game ball to a fullback. That's what you want to sell me,
That's
Hawk?
What Solana just wanted, though. He doesn't want finesse. He wants a fullback to lead the team. It's exactly what he just aspired to be.
Like, what are we talking about when we're giving game balls to fullbacks when we were the number one offense in the league?
Then they've adopted the identity that Solana wanted.
I'm just saying, Hawk, like, there is a flaw in this. Is it top heavy? Is it whatever? Is it, you know, paying too much guy? Whatever it is, there is a flaw. There's a glitch in the matrix right now that Tua could get hurt and we can't even pee a drop on offense. And we're praising a team for scoring 15 points because they're playing a team that's terrible as hell. That was a boring game that I watched on Sunday.
Boring was an overstatement.
We might as well played backgammon and see what happens. Hey, Tyler, play backgammon or spades. Pick a partner, and you and Jacoby Brissett play spades, and we'll figure out who wins on the back end. I want them to renege just to see what happens. It was boring, Hawk. There's something going on in our matrix that's not right. I think what I'm saying.
I think this probably is of importance to a lot of people listening. The Miami-Dade County schools, Miami-Dade County's Department of Emergency Management, National Weather Service, all Miami-Dade County public schools-related activities, inclusive of adult education, will be suspended as of 6 p.m. tomorrow, 6 p.m. Tuesday, and then all Miami-Dade County public schools as well as region and district offices will be closed on Wednesday. All right, Miami-Dade Public Schools closed on Wednesday. Let's get the rest of the headlines because I got some other stuff I want to get to this hour.
All right, so the Canes, they'll be off next week as well. Both Dolphins and Canes have their bye weeks. The Canes will play Louisville the following week. That'll be October 19th on the road, and it'll be a noon ABC nationally televised game. The Miami Heat, they're in action tonight. First chance at a look at the roster. It's their red, white, and pink scrimmage. That'll be at the Kaseya Center. They begin preseason action tomorrow. And the Panthers open up their season tomorrow. They have banner night hosting the Bruins. Puck drops at 7. Tonight was supposed to be their ring ceremony, but that event has been canceled due to Hurricane Milton.
All right.
Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7, 866-954. More. That was important info from Hawk. This storm is very, very serious, obviously, if you're on the west coast of Florida. But it's up to a Category 5 hurricane right now.
Don't get no higher.
Wind speeds are absurd. You said north of 165, right? 170?
175 miles per hour gusts.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So be safe and be prepared. That's your weather.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
All right, you want to do 50 minutes of game day uncensored here, Crowder, and I'll give you the actual studs and duds that Dolphins Wire has for yesterday's game. Let's see. 15 minutes of game day uncensored brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV for those who never want to lose their edge. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Studs and duds, USA Today. First stud, and we didn't mention him when we were talking about game balls. You said Raheem Mostert. I said Alec Ingold. Jalen Wright, they have, is one of the studs. And I would agree with that. They say the Dolphins gave up a 2025 third-round pick for the chance to draft Jalen Wright, and he's made that look like a smart decision. With Devon Achane lost to a concussion early in the game, Miami had to lean on the combo of Wright and Mostert the rest of the way, and the rookie looked like the most dangerous weapon on the Dolphins roster. Wright finished the game with a game-leading 86 rushing yards, which didn't even include the 33-yard burst down the right sideline that was negated by a holding penalty. So he did have a good game.
Yes. And great kid. I've met him before.
Jalen nice guy.
Wright's a great kid. Very, very good. Yes. Humble, good dude he is.
First dud, Dolphins special teams. In the first half, Dolphins kicker Jason Sanders doinked a 41-yard field goal off the upright. A Jake Bailey punt was blocked, and a 50-yard attempt for Sanders was never even kicked because long snapper Blake Ferguson rolled the ball to the holder. While Sanders ended up hitting three field goals on the day and Bailey hit a punt that pinned the Patriots on their own 5-yard line, it was far from a banner day for Danny Crossman's unit. It was like a comedy of errors. Those three mistakes that they're talking about was a comedy of errors. That was like a sitcom.
Can't make a 40-yarder, can't snap it and get a block punt, and you're averaging 13 points a game. Like, I know, you know, that offense, the special teams coordinator, you know, you bring his name up. That's a team problem. And it's funny that you just said it. There was a Jalen Wright run that was called back 33 yards for holding. Like, it's not good football. Not because we're down here. This is not good football we're watching.
It's
sad.
Why didn't anyone want to watch, going back to the last segment, why didn't anyone want to watch the finesse football that was so much fun to watch last season when it was rolling? Like, why did we have to, and I don't know that they really did change, but why did you want to change, Solana? I love that finesse football where everything's smooth and groovy.
Hawk, because you can't beat the teams you got to beat. Like, they were 1-6 against playoff teams last year, and in all those games, the issue was simple. They couldn't score the football. It wasn't the defense.
Well, this new version has them scoring a lot of points.
No, Hawk, I got your back, Solana, on this one. I'll explain it. We wanted the finesse football we saw, leading the league in scoring and yards per game, but we also wanted to be able to run the power game as well, and that's how you win. That's how you go deep in the playoffs. That's how you win in Kansas City, 8 degrees. Like, you have to be able to run the ball and physically dominate people. So, Hawk, to your point, I don't know if I'm on both sides of this argument. I wanted to keep the finesse, Hawk, but I wanted the option to pound the ball if we had to physically dominate somebody. I don't know if I'm asking for too much, but that's what the top teams do.
Stud from USA Today, Dolphins secondary. With Jordan Poyer out of action and both Kendall Fuller and Javon Holland dealing with injuries suffered during the game, the Miami secondary still did everything it could to keep the Patriots offense in check. Jalen Ramsey brought intensity, Kader Kohu made plays behind the line of scrimmage and kept Jalen Polk in check, and Marcus May filled in admirably at the back end of the secondary. Patriots Jacoby Brissett finally crossed the 100 passing yards after the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter, and no New England receivers reached 60 yards on Sunday.
I don't know if it's a big brag to say you stopped Caitlin Pope, but
I don't know if it's the secondary as much as it is Jacoby Brissett.
We held Caitlin Pope in check. Come on, man. No. I would be more proud of holding Caitlin Clark in check. Caitlin Pope.
Searching for anything here. Another dud. Penalties. We were just talking about it. This was much more of a Patriots problem than a Dolphins issue, but it made for a rough viewing experience regardless. Miami picked up 6 penalties for 54 yards, although that doesn't include 3 flags thrown on the Dolphins that were declined, including 2 more illegal shift penalties for a team that can't seem to avoid that violation. New England was penalized 12 times for 105 yards. The costliest flag for the Patriots was their pass interference on a 3rd down for the Dolphins that extended a drive that ended with Miami's only touchdown of the day.
Ugly football, both sides.
It was ugly football. Now, a stud from USA Today, Mike McDaniel.
Excuse me?
McDaniel has got plenty of deserved criticism for his decisions early in the season, but with a backup quarterback Sunday, the Dolphins put together a winning game plan. While the Miami offense wasn't able to connect on deep balls to stretch the field, the team schemed open its playmakers for 24 first downs. The Dolphins leaned on the run when they needed to, got tight end Jonnu Smith involved, and didn't ask Tyler Huntley to do too much. It was far from a smooth day for Miami. Aside from the special teams errors, Huntley threw an ill-advised pick, and the Dolphins lost 22 yards on a bad snap that knocked them out of field goal range. But Miami still found a way to finish with 372 yards of offense, an impressive feat given the team's injuries.
Disagree with that one. That's like me beating up Solana. It's a great job.
Can't
Channing.
Take pride in it.
I can't take pride in beating up Solana. Like, oh, great, right. He's never going to protect his face because he's never fought before.
But Mike McDaniel, while confused looking at times, did not look nearly as out of his league as he did in the Tennessee game or the Seattle game.
No, he's adjusting, but you're adjusting to 15 points over 11. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand what you're saying, Hawk. Did it look better? It did look better, but still with the illegal shift, still with the offside, still with the block punt, still with that. So as they're talking about, are they talking about him as a play caller or him as a head coach? Because the special teams weren't
coach.
So that's a part of the special teams. The special teams were embarrassing. The offense, the penalties were embarrassing. He's a play caller. Were his plays better? Did he scheme up some stuff like Solana calls it? Was the Jonnu Smith package more productive? Yes, but you're the head coach. You're not the OC. That was not impressive when I watched the game from the outside looking at it. I'm not saying the Dolphins are ready to do something. There was too many just missteps in the entire game plan on both sides of the ball. The defense, even with the losses, we were talking about the defense held it down as long as they could against Seattle, held it down as long as they could against the Bills, like trying to do something. But special teams and offense, that's no 13 points a game, Hawk. We scored 15, and we're about to get to 13 points per game. I can't give him a stud. A stud, 15 points a game, and you're calling the offense.
But not a dud.
A neutral.
Okay. Listen, I'm sure he'd be thrilled to take that after two weeks prior.
A pat on the back.
Give himself the game ball. Give him one of those wedding cakes. Hey, you like wedding cake?
I give him one of them little Italian ice cups that my daughter likes.
Get a mini cupcake.
A stud.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.